to.
Thank you, Chairman, and would like to welcome the witnesses. I'd also like to welcome Patrick Murphy here behind us, the Irish Southwest Fishermen's Association, and also Cormac Burke, the IFSA, and those two individuals have worked very hard to try and, I suppose, make fishermen's lives a little more easier in what is an extremely, extremely difficult time. And I hope that this will be the first of many meetings that we'll have with the SFP going forward, and maybe the organisations that are there, and ourselves as a committee, because there's a massive, massive bridge there that needs to be built between the man or the woman on the ground and the SFP, and it's quite obvious to the whole country, maybe the whole world out there. I'd wish to welcome you, Mr. Hayes, and your colleagues here today, and for us having the opportunity to ask some questions that we have of you, both in respect of your appointment, the policy changes that appear to be on the way within the authority, ever since your appointment and your discharge of your duties in your new role as Chairman and sole Director of the critically important Sea Fisheries Protection Agency, SFPA, in circumstances where the Sea Fisheries and Maritime Jurisdiction Act of 2006 stipulates that there should be three such directors. I know many of my colleagues today will join me with me in offering you congratulations in your personal on a personal level, while wishing you and the SFP every success in discharging so critical a role in circumstances where the future sustainability of such an important resource as we have in the seas surrounding our small island nation must surely be achieved in conjunction with the ensuring the viability, sustainability and socio-economic health of our widely scattered, often remote and island-based coastal communities, whose people must, as those most intimately connected with the living resources of our seas, be entitled to derive the greatest economic benefit from this resource. Now, if you don't mind, obviously I've got 15 minutes and everybody else and I have to respect my colleagues need to get in here. Those my questions are simply yes and no. Some might require just a minute answer, and I might appreciate we keep it there because I have a lot of questions. When a senior position is filled, could you, Mr. Hayes, you might explain to me, when a senior position is filled in the SFP, the announcement is made by the Minister for Agriculture and Marine, as was in your case, Mr. Hayes. Is that the case, yes or no?
Yes, Deputy, so the appointment is made
that's
under
that's
the
right. No, yes or no, I do find. When the SFPA takes the owner...
Maritime Jurisdiction Act 2006, okay. That sets out the process for the appointment.
Okay.
The appointments are made by the Minister in accordance with that legislation.
Thank you, that's yes or no, perfect. When the SFPA take the owner of a fishing vessel to court, the SFPA is represented by two senior civil servants. Am I right? Cecil Beamish and Josephine Kelly from the Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine. As this has been the case throughout the past 5 years, is this the case, yes or no?
No, Deputy.
Okay. And if it was the case, then how can the SFPA declare itself to be acting as a totally independent body?
But no is the answer to the first question, Deputy. The SFPA is independent in the performance of its duties. The two officials that you've named work for the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine and have no function in relation to the Sea Fisheries Protection Authority.
And have they represented the Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine in any cases?
You'd have to ask them that Deputy. I don't know the answer well.
Hopefully.
I do know that answer, actually, Deputy, because I know they have represented the Department, but not the SFPA, certainly.
OK. You might please outline the official working relationship between the SFPA and the Department, DEFM.
So the official working relationship.
Yeah.
So the SFPA is an agency that's independent in the performance of its duties. Its role is set out by this House under the Sea Fisheries, Maritime and Jurisdiction Act 2006. Our funding comes through the Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine through that vote and is voted by this House through that department. The department has a responsibility for corporate governance of the organisation. And outside of that, that's the only role that the department has. Sorry, I'm just checking with my colleague here to see if there's any other...
Yeah, so the state has set out a code of practice for the governance of state agencies, deeper Department of Public Expenditure and Reform has set that out, so there's an arrangement, the performance contract between the department and the SFPA set out under that code of practice for the corporate governance of state agencies.
Thank you. At the last SFP appearance, and Dr. Susan Steele has moved to a different job and wish her the best. Before the Joint Committee, Susan Steele claimed that there was a good working relationship between the SFPA and the industry and representatives, but this committee has been strongly advised that this is not the case. Out of the following representative groups, please inform us which one or more the SFPA has a good relationship with: the IFPEA, the IFPO, the IFSA, DISWFPO, DISEFPO, the KFO, the Islands FPO. I'm leading on to another question. Are any fisheries cooperative nationwide?
The topic today is...
Yeah, I'm on to that. That's my next...
Is the weighing of fish. And in fairness, to ask the chairman, has he a good work relationship with an organisation? That's a fair question.
Well, yeah, but it's something that they're, I think the SFPO have been continuously stating that they want to work with the organisations. I could be totally wrong here. Maybe they have a great relationship with every one of them, but we certainly need to know if they have one above another, because that's not what's been said out there.
No.
Okay. My next question, so... Okay, throughout the Killybegs Blue Whiting controversy, the SFPA publicly insist that they continually offered the option to these vessels landing that they could indeed use the pelagic flow scales, but without actually saying that the SFPA were ordering that this state-of-the-art system declared suitable by the Irish High Courts as being fit for purpose, have the element of water removed from the system, and therefore that this option was just a different method of dewatering or dry landing the fish, thereby making them of no use for human consumption processing. Can you share your thoughts on this, please, Mr. Hayes?
Sure, Deputy. First of all, in relation to the Pearside weighing device, we've got to make a distinction here between the 19 landings out of 20 and the one landing out of 20. So the obligation is that we would control supervise one landing out of 20 to enable the other 19 to be brought to the factories and weighed, or weighed on that Pearside weighing device, which is owned by the industry. So they have an option whether they want to weigh the 19 out of 20 in their factories or on that Pearside weighing device. In relation to the 1 in 20 that we need to supervise the weighing of, there's currently two options open to a master landing in Killybegs. One of them is that the fish is pumped from the vessel into the Pearside weighing machine, and in turn placed into a tanker that has been pre-filled with water and pre-weighed on the weighbridge. Following the deposition of the fish in that pre-weighed tanker, it's brought back to the weighbridge and weighed again. One weight is subtracted from the other, and the result is the weight of fish in the tanker. The second option that's open to the master is to, or the operator, is to discharge into an empty tanker that has been pre-weighed. The fish are pumped into it with the water that they were originally in. It is up to the operator to take off as much water as they feel they can without interfering with the quality of the fish. They then go and weigh over the weighbridge, and that's recorded as the official weight of the fish.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hayes. Under whose instruction are the SFP implying methods of monitoring and regulation that are not being used anywhere else in the EU? Are such decisions taken by yourself, Mr. Hayes, or by the SFP management, the board, or whoever they are? We'd appreciate, are the instructions handed down from above?
So, Deputy, as I said in my opening statement, the default position in relation to fish landing is that they're weighed at the point of landing. There is some unique aspects in relation to Ireland in the way that particularly bulk pelagic fish are landed, but I let my colleague, Dr. O'Mahony, deal with the general landing conditions, how it is in relation to the regulation, and what the difference is in Ireland.
Sure, thank you. So the instructions are set out in the EU regulations. We're the regulator. We implement the regulations. The regulations come to us from the legislator, including the House of the Oireachtas, and we implement those regulations, Deputy. Mr. Hayes has said, the default position, the starting point, the baseline of the regulations, that fish are weighed immediately on landing. There are potential derogations whereby fish, that weighing can take place after landing, but that authority is not delegated to SFPA or to any authority in any member state. It requires approval by the EU Commission.
Okay, thank you. Just looking here, a couple more questions. Mr. Hayes, what is your opinion on the introduction of the remote electronic monitoring and the deploying and use of remote cameras?
So, Deputy, this is a matter that's in the policy sphere at the moment. It is not contained in any regulation at the moment, and we don't, as a Sea Fisheries Protection Authority, comment on matters of policy.
And would you please, give us your opinion on how this technology is not deemed sufficient for control purposes in a factory setting?
Sorry, could you repeat that, Deputy?
I said, would you please give us, in your opinion, on how this technology is not deemed sufficient for control purposes in a factory setting?
Sure, I'll ask my colleague, Dr. O'Mahony, to address that one.
Sure, so this tool, it's a control tool, Deputy, which does add some assurances. For example, the risk of fish being put over the weighbridge without the flow belt being even turned on. It manages that risk if we can see the flow belt moving and the clock clocking up, basically. But there are risks which it does not manage. So risks that flow belt might be underweighing. So a kilo might be coming up as a kilo. So it has some assurances. As with all control tools, there's no absolute control tool that provides 100% assurances. They help, but they're not onto themselves a 100% solution.
Okay. Should not you, as a sole member of the board of the SFPA, support stakeholders in their view that commercially sensitive information coming into the hands of the SFPA should not and must not be shared with the public other than in accordance with the law?
I would agree with you, Deputy.
Is this data that is held by the SFPA not subject to the laws on confidentiality of data and data protection of both the EU and Ireland?
Yes, it is, Deputy.
Okay, thank you. And
can I just clarify which data it is particularly, Deputy?
Well, different data. That comes before you. Like, is it protected? It doesn't get out to the general public.
I may be wrongly construing something, but if you're referring to the CCTV data, we don't hold those data.
Okay, right. Just in relation to Mr. Hayes, you might inform the Joint Committee as to your own appointment from the EFM to the head of the SFPA to replace the outgoing Dr. Susan Steele, who sat on the interviewing panel. And how many other candidates were interviewed?
So I actually don't have that information, but I'm not sure that the Chair would consider it.
No, mate, that's not the subject that we're dealing with now.
Okay. I have enough questions for now, and thank you.
Okay.